A few weeks ago, I taught and used the analogy of the repair shop, BBC's The Repair Shop. And among other things, I referred to the watchmaker's cleaning fluid. One of the things that they do first off is anything that comes in, is it normally gets a jolly good clean. And I refer particularly to the watchmaker's cleaning fluid, how as the parts are submerged in the isotonic tank, they don't have to do a lot, but it happens and they come out very much cleaner. Although, as Sue reminded me, often they get a good scrub afterwards. Maybe we all need a good scrub. But the other thing is we fed back last week on, the week before, about the Thrive conference we went to and what had impacted us. What were the things that had spoken to us particularly? And for me, it was one quote, and it was, is that no good? Sorry, to the side. Is that better? I'm breathing on it. Sorry, I'll stop breathing. Or only breathe every alternate breath. How's that? So it was this quote from Anderson Mayo. Anderson Mayo leads the church in Sheffield. He's part of the Salt and Light family of churches. And he said this. He said, "You can't multitask in God's presence." And I knew this talk was coming up, and I've been really struggling. Normally, weeks in advance, I've got an idea. Weeks in advance, I'm collecting illustrations. I've got things I'm mulling about. I'm ruminating, and nothing. Every time I asked God, it was like, sorry, I've gone out. And I had a quick chat with Wendy about this, and she said, well, it's obvious, isn't it, what God's been speaking to you about? Thanks, Wendy. So as I walked into the cross on Friday morning for the early morning prayer meeting. If any of you want to join us, by the way, it's one of the best times of the week. Friday morning, we start at 7. Most of us are there by 6:45. Come and be part of a wonderful time of prayer. But I noticed we have got this poster up in the entrance at the cross. It's from Psalm 46, verse 10. And it just says simply, "Be still and know that I am God." And it's just, oh, isn't that nice? We don't need to do anything. We just need to be still, not to multitask, just soak in the watch cleaner's fluid, and all life will be lovely and wonderful. But for most of you, and I include myself in this, that's just a bit ambitious, isn't it? To think there's nothing going on in life that you can just stop. I wonder if some of you are saying, well, you can say that, Martin, but you don't know what's going on inside my brain. Sometimes Sue and I will have this conversation. And I say, what do you think about it? She said, everything. There's got all these things going off in my brain. If you ask Mel and Ben about the empty box that men have and the nothing box, it's called. Men do have a capacity to sometimes think about nothing. It's just something we could do. And in this video, the ladies' brains are, well, I've got to think about this. I've got to be thinking about it. It's connected to them. There's children. You don't think about the men. I've got to do a clean one. And so men's and women's brains are different. Some of you, there are situations going on in your life. And you think, how can you put that? Be still. Have you got any idea what's going on? My work, my family, my health. And then I felt God prompt me to read Psalm 46 again. Because it's really important that when we read Scripture, we read it in context. So what does Psalm 46 say? I apologize, I wanted to get it on one slide. That's why it's slightly smaller. I'll read it to you. It says, God is our refuge and strength. He's always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. Do you think the psalmist had been looking at our news for this week? The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. But God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come and see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow. He snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored throughout the world. Sorry, I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. So every time we see that lovely be still and know I God, I want you to remember that this is written in the context of being in the middle of a war zone. This isn't all just serene lying on a beach and having a nice iced drink. But in the midst of conflict, in the midst of it all being messy, God says you can still be still because our focus can be on him in the midst of when everything else is going wrong. So let me take you to another part of the Bible. This is from Matthew. Mark. Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. And it says this. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats did follow. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat. It began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." I don't know whether you noticed that little detail, and it's a very small detail, but it's so important. Jesus was not only asleep, he had his head on a pillow. He could find time and space to be not just asleep, he was comfortable. But then what did he do? He says, "Be still." It's the same sense of in the midst of the storm, in the midst of all that's going on, Jesus says, "Be still." It's not a, "Oh, be still." It's a command. He speaks to the wind and the rain, "Be still." And I'm wondering whether Psalm 46 is very similar to that, isn't it? That it's that in the midst of all that's going on, God tells us to be still. Once you start looking at the art for some of it is very funny, but some of it is just spot on. Can you imagine being in the midst of a storm and Jesus tells you off for not having faith? Okay, let's go to one more passage which some of you will be very familiar. And I just want us to try and redress the balance of some of the stuff that's going on in our Bible reading, because in Psalm 23, here I looked for illustration of Psalm 23 that summed up, and here we are. Isn't it beautiful? We've got the sun rising or coming to the sheep are all obedient. I don't know why the sheep are on one side of the river and the shepherds on the other, but there we go. We've got this beautiful banquet laid out before on the table. It's good to see that modern glassware had been produced. A bunch of flowers, a serene sky. So we have Psalm 23. Let me read it to you. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the darkest valley," Some of you will be more familiar with the old-fashioned, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now, maybe I've been missing something all of these years. But what's going on in all of these passages? The war, the storms, the dark valleys, the meals in front of enemies. I don't know about you, but I think my focus would probably be elsewhere. If we're being real, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of war, that we tend to focus on what's affecting us, and we struggle to just focus on God. Come back to that quote about multitasking. You can't multitask in the presence of God. So what does it look like? What's a good example? Let's go to the Bible and find a good example of what this might look like in practice. Well, in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, we find this story. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, and she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all of these details. There's only one thing being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it won't be taken away from her." I found this picture of Mary and Martha. I just love that look of adoration, that I just want to absorb everything here from Jesus. So I wonder, what for us are examples of multitasking? What takes away our focus? What do we suddenly think about? And I'm guilty. Even writing this, I've got procrastination down to a fine art. What do we want? Procrastination. When do we want it? Tomorrow. So I wonder, what are the things that distract you? I've got a list here of things that distract me, but I wonder, what are the things that you would admit to that distract you? Maybe when you're trying to read or to pray, or no, you should be reading or praying, but you don't. Social media, thank you. I put Sue's adult brain down here. I thought that might come up. Yep. Sorry? Hats. Cats. Cats. I hadn't got cats on my list, but great. Yeah, yeah. Anyone else? Sorry? Your phone, the mobile phone. Yeah. Sorry? Housework. The news. Your garden. Yep. Jigsaws. Yeah. Anything else? Coffee. Yep. Homework. Interesting, no one yet has said the television. TV, yeah. The soaps. What about, sorry? I've got that one down, yes. What about unhealthy relationships we might have, maybe with food or alcohol or people or sports or the gym? All of these things can crowd in, and we just say, well, I'll do this and then I'll spend time with God. I just wonder what happens when we reorder that. Ben was very honest. I think Sue would tell you, my phone is one of my biggest distractions. There was a survey, and this, bear in mind, I want you to remember, this survey was done in 2016, so it's 9 years ago. The average iPhone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day. For those under the age of 35, that doubles. Now, these figures, you might think, oh, I haven't got an iPhone, I'm fine. That it affects basically all phones. 2,617 times a day. That was in 2016. I don't think it will have got any less. Another survey found that just being in the same room as your phone, your mobile phone, even if it's turned off, will reduce your working memory and problem-solving skills. If you have a mobile phone in your bedroom, again, even if it's turned off, it will affect your sleep. All of these are proven statistically. And our attention span, I love this, our attention span drops with each year. Now, in the year 2000, before the digital revolution, the average adult attention span was 12 seconds. The average, right. So that doesn't give us a lot of wriggle room, does it? That was in 2000. But since then, it has dropped to 8 seconds. The average adult attention span is at 8 seconds. So I lost you all before I'd introduced me. Now, I just want to put this 8 seconds in perspective. The average goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. We are losing out to goldfish. Linda Stone, who is a researcher for Microsoft, said this. She said, continuous partial attention is our new normal. I'll say that again. Continuous partial attention is our new normal. In the last week, Tracy spoke and Rog led. And as Rog summed up, he said, we need to repent. We need to turn away from the wrong stuff. When we've been saying the wrong things, when we've been effectively cursing, using our mouth to say wrong stuff, instead of lifting people up, I wonder whether you might join me, whether we need to repent of giving our attention and our time to the wrong stuff. Now, of course, we can listen to our Bibles, or we can pray when we go out jogging or in the car or doing the cleaning or watching the news. By the way, I just want to say all those things that distract us, none of them are wrong things. It's not wrong to do your gardening or your cooking. It's not wrong. All I'm trying to do is say, can we redress the balance of what it means to be still in the midst is to put our focus and not to multitask with God. So we can do all this stuff, can't we? We can put our earbuds in and we can listen to the Bible or we can listen to worship or we can jog it. But are we trying to multitask and cheat God? Maybe we need to repent of not giving God our full attention. If we really want to build a relationship with the God of the universe, we need to be intentional about sitting at his feet and without the distractions. When this quote was used about you can't multitask, I was talking to my boy, Matthew, afterwards. And he was saying that this was the one line that had really arrested him. And he said he and Ruth had got in the car and they said, we really need to pray about how much we're going to give into the offering and we need to pray. So he said, save time, we'll pray in the car on the way back home. And then he felt himself say, what have I just said? If we're serious about talking to God, we don't do it to save time while we're driving. I'm also aware that if I'm reading my Bible on my phone, I do the Bible in a year, and I've got a hardcover Bible, and I've got the app which duplicates it. And sometimes I will read it on my phone. Do you know, some people have the temerity to send me WhatsApp in the middle of my Bible reading. Or I'll get a text and I'll go, oh, it's New Zealand. I'll just go across. I'm guilty. And it's so easy, isn't it? It's like the bright, shiny things that suddenly go, oh, look at me. And you go, oh, yes. Oh, sorry, God. I'll come back to you in a minute. I want to show you a picture. This is Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley was the, I get these figures, she was the youngest of 25 children. She was the youngest of 25 children. She went on to have 19 children of her own. You want to talk about distractions? 9 of these children died as infants. Her children included 2 boys called Charles and John Wesley. She is regarded as being the mother of Methodism. She believed that as soon as her children could talk, they should be able to pray and put that into practice. But in her tiny house, with all the children and all the noise and all that was going on, she also believed prayer was one of the most important things she could do. She felt that she should, she said, it's documented, that she felt she couldn't have more recreational time than she had prayer time. So how did she do that? How did she carve out time? She used to get her apron and put it over her head. And she would sit for up to 2 hours a day in prayer saying, I need to find the space and the time to pray. And her kids all knew, if mother had the apron over her head, do not disturb her. That's her and God time. Now at this point, I could go back to the Old Testament, to the Ten Commandments. But I think instead, let's see what Jesus had to say about all this. Jesus was asked a question, so which of all the commandments is important? And he said this, he said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and your prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hang from them. When we live differently, people notice. People ask us to pray. We help open the door that allows other people to see Jesus for themselves. And that happens when we give quality, non-multitasking time to God. I visited Fallia Brennan Retreat Center a number of years ago. I was the only one there. I could never do a silent retreat. But on the wall was this. It says, if you can't read that, this is as close as I could get to a copy of that thing. It's from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 13. It says this, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that line. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I deliberately asked if we could reorder how we do things this morning. Because something changes when we give ourselves to God, when we give ourselves to worship. One of the other lines I picked up was, it's not possible to be anxious and worshiping at the same time. When we spend time in his presence, when we soak in the watchmaker's cleaning fluid, something changes. So as we go back into worship, I wonder if we can make a conscious effort to maybe put the mobile phones away. If you're on Facebook at the moment, just shut it down. Whatever it is that we're going to devote this portion of time into worship. It might be that you need to say sorry to God. It might be things that you know you've reprioritized and put God behind. Let's give ourselves to him, not to try and multitask, but to sit at his feet. And whatever season we're in, whatever we're going through, whether it's war or storms, or we're walking through the veil of the dark valley of the shadow of death, we will be still. Be still and know that I am God. It's not just for tea towels. It's not just for your pretty picture on the wall. It's for your life and your relationship with the King of Kings and the God of the universe, who loves you more than you can possibly ask, think, or imagine. Be still.